Speaking on the program at this time is Brother James W. Boyd.
Ephesus, in the little city of Miletus, of which we read in Acts the 20th chapter, and also in which he told them of things that would happen to the church, and told them of responsibilities that they would have, as they were about to say goodbye. Verse 32 says, Paul said, And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The emphasis of Paul here is to his brethren to rely upon the word of God. When Paul was writing Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, he said, Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. Again, the emphasis on the word, and the teaching that in order to be approved of God, we must give diligence, and we must study, and we must rightly divide that word. I think we would all agree that there is great power in knowledge. There's great power in being informed. When people know, when people are informed, they have a great advantage. And this is true regardless of the subject that you have under consideration. But people do not come to a knowledge of a thing quickly and not with a single bound. It generally takes hard work. It takes concentration and meditation. It requires persistent study to gain the knowledge that we need. Now, there are so many matters about which we can know a little bit, and none of us would ever profess to have all knowledge on all subjects. But I would insist that there is a matter about which every man everywhere needs to know. And that is his obligation and duty before God. This is a matter that nobody can go through life being ignorant of it, without knowledge of it, and be approved of God. I think basic in seeing the necessity then of Bible study and coming to a knowledge of the Bible is the realization that man is both physical and spiritual. Most of the world does not really seemingly appreciate this fact. But friend, we are more than just the flesh and blood and the material of this world of which we see. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, Paul speaks of the outward man, but he also talks about the inward man. And Jesus warned, Be not afraid of them that destroy the body, but fear him that destroy both body and soul. In hell. Again, in Mark 8 and verse 36, What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul? Now, the point that I want to insist upon here at the beginning of the lesson is we need knowledge, therefore. We have to study in order to have that knowledge, and the Bible is that revelation that tells us of that which supplies that which we need most concerning the soul or the spirit of man. The importance of Bible study is seen in the fact that here is something that God has commanded. It's not optional with us to study God's Word. It's not something that we can take and leave with equal consequence. Here is a commandment of God. You don't treat lightly and with triviality anything God has said, let alone a commandment that He has given unto us. Back in the Old Testament, Isaiah told his people, Seek ye out the book of Jehovah and read. Paul told Timothy, Give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. To the brethren in Ephesus, he said, Wherefore be ye not understanding, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We can understand what the will of the Lord is. We can be wise concerning those things. And he had earlier told them that when ye read, you can understand just like he understood. And certainly the Apostle Paul did understand. We're commanded in Colossians 3 and verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. In the very first Psalm, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinner, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Dear friends, surely we recognize that in view of such teaching, to neglect Bible study is to disobey God. And I would that all of us who are members of the Lord's church could be impressed with that truth, as well as those who are not yet in Christ. I want to point to you one or two consequences of ignorance of God's will today. And then I want to hastily point out some of the great benefits that the knowledge of His will do for us. In Ephesians, the fourth chapter, Paul, in speaking to the Ephesians and speaking about their condition before they came to Christ, said, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Look at these terms and these conditions of these people. They were alienated from God. Their heart was blinded. They had given themselves over to all kind of vile forms of sin. And behind it all was their ignorance, their lack of knowledge of the truth. The prophet Hosea in verse 4, or chapter 4 and verse 6 said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Friend, let's understand that ignorance of God's will mean for me and for you individually and for all of us collectively, we shall spiritually perish. That certainly is not our goal in life, is it? But ignorance of the Word of God spells our destruction. The consequences of ignorance affects not only the one ignorant generation either, because a generation that is ignorant of the Word of God will not and does not have the capacity for teaching the next generation the will of God. And then the next generation will pass that same ignorance to the next generation somewhere along the line. The ignorance of the Word of God and that cycle that causes it has got to be broken. And it should be broken with us. Your children will not come to a knowledge of the Word of God unless you have a knowledge of the Word of God, more than likely. It's your responsibility and obligation to not only live before them in the righteous, solemn way, but to teach them the things by which they are to worship. And if you are not attentive in doing that, dear father, mother, grandfather, grandmother, teacher, preacher, elder, we are neglecting a responsibility that God has placed upon us. Not knowing God's will cause not only the ignorant to perish, but those of whom they could have had an influence to also perish. Ignorance of the Word of God will not only allow us to neglect doing the things that we ought to do, but it will let us go along without any pain of conscience do those things that ought not be done. We need to be aware that we can offend God even while we think we're serving God. Now, Jesus warned his apostles along this line in John 16, verses 1 through 3. He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think he doeth God service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Here were the hand-chosen, hand-picked apostles of Christ going about their duty of carrying the gospel throughout all the world. And they would meet opposition. And those people would oppose them even to the point that they would threaten to kill them. And all the while they would do these things thinking that they were rendering service to God. How could they possibly do that? It would be because of their ignorance on the Word and the will of God. This was the problem of the Apostle Paul before he became a preacher of Christ. He said, "I verily thought within myself I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth." He later confessed that he did it ignorantly, but he did it nonetheless. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 17, on the very early days of the church, the Apostle Peter told the Jews, "And now, brethren, I know that in ignorance ye did it," having reference to the crucifixion of Christ, "as also did your rulers." They possibly did not realize the full significance of all of that that they were propagating at that time, but they didn't know. Now, that didn't mean they were not held responsible and accountable and answerable. They were. But they were committing these dastardly things and neglecting things that ought to be done because they were ignorant. The Apostle Paul went into the city of Athens. He found the people there who were worshiping ignorantly. Yes, a person can do just exactly what God opposes if he doesn't know the will of God. Yes, there are dire consequences for me and for you and for anybody else that thinks he can go through life acceptably and happily and not know what God expects of him. You can't do it. I wish we would all be impressed with that fact. On the other hand, let me briefly call your attention to some of the immeasurable benefits that a knowledge of His Word will produce. In Psalm 19 and verse 7, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." Now, friend, to convert means to bring about a change. Jesus said, "Except ye be converted and become as little children, you can in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven." The Apostle Peter said, "Repent and be converted." What is it that converts us, which is absolutely essential if we're going to stand approved before God? It's the law of God. It's the Word of God that converts us. It's that Word that builds and creates those convictions that we have. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. We're not going to believe. We're not even going to know what to believe, let alone how to do and what to do, if we do not know what the Word of God teaches. Let me just say here parenthetically, throughout the history of the Lord's church from the early days, there have been those who have come to the Lord and have drifted away and fallen away, apostatized. There have been great disturbances and divisions in the Lord's church through the centuries. And such has been the case even in our own lifetime. And we're certainly seeing this with the advance of liberalism and humanism and digression in the Lord's church even as we assemble here today. But brethren, there is no individual and there is no congregation that can be carried into apostasy when those people know the Word, appreciate the Word, and are determined to follow the Word. But if they don't know it, somebody with a smooth tongue and a charismatic personality can come along and twist and change things and tear it off in the direction they see fit. For your own soul's sake, that you not be deceived and misled by false teachers and those who have their personal ambitions to overpower you. You must know the Word of God, and you must know it for yourself. It's not enough for the elders to know it. They must know it. It's not enough for preachers to know it. They should know it and preach it. It's not enough for deacons to be aware of it. They should be. Every one of us should come to as great a knowledge of the Word of God as we have opportunity to become. And we will not do that if we do not study. We are purified by the Word of God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obedience to the truth. But when you don't know the truth, what are you going to know to obey? How do you know that you're not going to disobey the very thing that's necessary for you to purify your soul? God has provided the blood of Christ to wash our sins away. It's the Word of God that tells us of what God has done. It's the Word that tells us of Christ. It's the Word that tells us of His blood. It's the Word that tells us how we reach that blood. It's the Word, therefore, by which our souls can be purified. We must know these things, be convicted of these things. And when we don't know how God is going to operate, and we just go along depending upon even honest and sincere men, we're putting our own soul in jeopardy. Keep in mind, as we pointed out, we are spirit creatures as well as physical. And the spirit of man must have spiritual food. Did not Jesus say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Father? Did not the Apostle Peter admonish us to desire the sincere milk of the Word? And we are commanded, 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear friends, spiritual growth is not an optional matter either, but spiritual growth will be in direct relationship to our concentration upon, our meditation in, and our coming to a knowledge of, and then the application of the Word of God. That takes study. That takes teaching. That takes learning. We can know what God would have us to do, but we can't if we don't put forth the effort. Surely one of the greatest needs that man has upon this earth is to know how to live and conduct his life. The knowledge of the Word of God provides for us a guide in life. You're familiar with that passage in Psalms that says, Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Jeremiah has warned that it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. The wise man in Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You try to go it alone, that's exactly the way you're going to go it. And when you stand before God in judgment, that's exactly the way you'll be, because His Son will not be there as your advocate. Man has never been able to successfully conduct his own life by himself, of himself, to the disregard and the ignorance of the will of God. The sinful world is in darkness, and we live in a world where sin is predominant. But Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And it is His gospel that brings us the light from heaven that provides for us, as it were, not only a roadmap by which to conduct our affairs here in this life, but a roadmap that eventually leads us to the portals of glory in heaven. But if we don't know how to read that map, and we don't understand that map, and we don't study that map, not everybody doesn't know how to use a map. Now, I'm not going to make any personal references to anybody with whom you might travel, but I just know that everybody doesn't know how to read a map. They can have a map there, and you'd just as soon put a Greek text in front of them as far as knowing how and when to turn, where to go. But we have the map, but with a little effort, some study on our part, that map can become a revelation and a source of information. And we no longer remain in darkness and in ignorance, but we can be confident as we make our journey. And we are pilgrims and sojourners in this life, dear people, and we need a guide. And we need a guide that's superior to the wisdom of men. And we have God's divine directions. Bible knowledge provides for man something that he so desperately needs, and something which the Christian has. Bible knowledge will give the Christian hope. It's through patience and the comfort of the Scriptures that we have hope. In Romans 8 and verse 24, Paul says, we are saved by hope. Now, how is it that we are saved by hope? The message of the Word extends to mankind the offer of an abundant life, not only here, but also in the after a while. The Word of God offers to man the promise of forgiveness, fellowship with God, the privilege of prayer, the expectation and anticipation of after this life is over, we will have fulfilled our purpose and done our duty. There will be an eternal joy in heaven with God and with all the redeemed. The knowledge of that, the hope of that, the certainty of that, the assurance of that, that's all found in the Word of God. And it's the Word of God that tells us how to lay hold on that kind of hope. We're just reading a little book last night and this morning about the pathetic thinking of so many miserable people in this world who go through life. They really don't know where they've come from. They don't know why they are here. They don't understand the direction they're traveling. They don't realize there's any destiny. They don't think that there's any particular thing they ought or ought not do. And they're miserable in this life. That's not the way it is with people who have a knowledge of the Word of God. Because Christian people, having that knowledge, having studied and learned, they know where they came from. They know why they're here. They know how they're supposed to behave and conduct themselves while they're here. They know where they're going and they know why. They don't wallow in ignorance. They bask in knowledge. But it didn't just automatically come to them. There had to be the seizing of opportunities to learn. And that calls for study. And study is possible not only in your private study, which ought to be a daily activity like the Bereans who search the Scriptures daily. You ought to be involved in the opportunities of sharing information and knowledge and study and the gleaning of truth that others have in Bible classes. Bible classes are offered to brothers and sisters in Christ so they can fulfill a duty unto God, so that they can know what the truth is. And how many take advantage of it? Many do. Many do. Let's look on the positive side. It's wonderful that many do. Not as many this morning, I might have had. I picked a bad time to bring this up, didn't it? But many don't. You can tell that too. I know that sometimes some can't. But dear friend, I believe more of us can than do, and maybe it's because we're not impressed with what a solemn matter it is to come to a knowledge of the Word of God. Bible knowledge is indispensable with our salvation. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, it is there that the Apostle Paul said of the knowledge that Timothy had of the Word, that it will make thee wise unto salvation. Did not Jesus say, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free? He didn't just say the truth shall make you free. The truth is there, and it has the power and the capacity to make us free from the bondage and enslavement of sin and of Satan. But before that can be accomplished, there must be knowledge on our part. Ye shall know the truth. It's then that the truth will make you free. But if you don't know it, the truth will not be of any measure of benefit to you. And you can't know it by just hoping to absorb it by osmosis or something like that. You won't catch it in the air. It won't be injected into you miraculously. Each of us will have to put forth some effort. We'll have to study. You ought to take advantage of every Bible class that's offered in this church. Every one of us, to the full capacity of our physical ability. Every one of us ought to listen to every sermon we can. Every one of us ought to be meditating and studying good material written by faithful brethren, Bible-based and Christ-centered, so that we won't go through the world in darkness and wandering and blind, stumbling about, going off in directions we ought never have gone, because we didn't know what the Word of God is. James said, "Receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls." Didn't Jesus say, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life"? James 5 and verse 39. So I want to impress upon you, whether to study or whether to learn, that's not to be trifled with, my dear people. It's simply a matter, it boils down, the bottom line is, we either obey God or we don't. And Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him, Hebrews 5 and verse 9. And it's always been amazing to me. And I'll preface this by a few remarks I heard from a dear brother yesterday. I went to see Brother Jim Elrod. I said something about it in Bible class this morning. Of course, you know Brother Elrod is presently at the McMinnville Nursing Home rehabilitating from having suffered a fall. And he expressed several different things that were, to my mind, so wholesome and so encouraging. What a magnanimous spirit he has. What a delight it is to be around Brother Elrod. And he said, I said, "How are you getting along?" He said, "Oh, I guess I'm getting along all right, and they're not doing as much for him as he wants to do, because he would like to be roller skating already, and time hadn't passed enough for him to do that, I think. But," he said, "you know what I miss more than anything else, having to lay up here in this bed?" He said, "I miss my Bible classes. Sunday morning, Wednesday night." As we know, Brother Elrod was here always when he could physically be here. "I miss my Bible classes." Now, it was commented this morning that Brother Elrod is a Bible-toting, Bible-quoting man. He knows what the Word is. And you know why he knows what the Word is? It didn't come to him last week. He didn't gain it over the last month. He devoted his life to coming to a knowledge of the Word of God. He's not what the world would call an academic scholar, but he's what God would call one approved of God, because he has studied to show himself approved of God. And he loves that Word. And he upholds that Word. And what he does is a good example for every one of us here, whether we be young or old. One final point, brethren. Even though we would make the tragic mistake of neglecting the Word of God now while we're here on this earth, we will meet this Word again, whether we want to or not. We will not forever ignore it. It will be our measure at the judgment. Jesus said in John 12 and verse 48, to which was referred to, or the sentiment was even in our prayer, that he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my saying hath one that judgeth him. The word that I spake, the same shall judge him in the last day. And it won't change. The Word of God endureth forever. 1 Peter 1 and verse 25. Here we have that which is going to determine whether we be saved or whether we be lost, whether we spend an eternity in hell or whether we enjoy the glories of heaven. In the book of Revelation we learn that the books shall be opened, and one of those books shall be opened is called the Book of Life. That's the Word of God that we have before us that shows to us how to live life and how to have eternal life. It's always been amazing to me that you even have to beg some brothers and sisters in Christ to take advantage of opportunities to know and to study and to learn so we can apply and be found acceptable. We would applaud every effort and encourage every effort to encourage Bible classes and Bible study at home and gospel preaching and the meditation upon the spiritual matters that the Word teaches us. Our very souls depend upon it. And my motive for bringing these things to you today is not just to see our Sunday school attendance rise. Of course, that I would hope would be one of the minor circumstances of it. But to provoke us all to see the seriousness of a duty. And to see the blessing that we have by having the Word. And to lay hold on every opportunity we have to come to a greater knowledge of it. And to be willing to give ourselves to study of His Word. Brethren, if we'll do that, there's nothing but good that can come. If we fail to do that, there is nothing to which we can look forward. If you're here today and you're not in Christ, this Word tells you how to come to Christ and to be saved. That's faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ. If you're here today and have been baptized into Christ and have not walked according to the will of God, that Word teaches that those who need to be restored but will not turn back again will not be saved. They will be lost. But God in His Word has taught us to repent and to confess our faults and to pray. The fallen child can come home and can renew themselves once again and do as they ought. If you're subject to the Master's call, in this Word our Lord has said, "Come unto me." Would you come?